Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 336 of Heroes Unlimited. We're still in the magic section, nearing the end of the spell list that has dominated the podcast over these last however many days. It's been kind of a long road. Got a lot of different plates spinning, you know. We're on blind watch, reviewing all the different spells that obscure things from vision to, number one, mock how many of them there are, and number two, mock the fact that all of them have separate rules, none of which match. I'm also on the lookout for things that shouldn't even be in this section because they are too boring for public consumption, and I'm suggesting things from the superior magic section from Heroes Unlimited Revised that could be here in their place. And on top of that, we're still performing the daily task of this podcast. Come rain or come shine, come material too wacky to believe or material too dull to even contemplate, we must always identify the dumbest thing on each page. That's led to some rather shaggy and odd episodes lately. Last episode is maybe a good example of that. So today, let's keep it simple. I'm spinning all these plates. Let's just keep them spinning because you know what? We're almost done. There are like 3 pages of spells left. And after that, we're in spitting distance of the end of this book. So let's just go at it. Today's page finishes off the level 11 spells and begins the level 12 spells. Level 12 is a big old milestone. Back when we talked about Eyes of the Wolf, I talked about how levels, say, 7 to 9 are kind of like a transitional period where we start to get into big, important spells as opposed to like the piddly little spells of levels 1 through 8. This is another big break point because the highest level spell you can start the game with, if you're a wizard, is 10th level. So 11th level is where spells you can't start the game with begin. These are spells you would have to get in play by either rolling on that random spell acquisition table. That's like the short and easy way to get spells when you level up as a wizard. Or you'd have to go through the laborious in-character process of questing for the spell, finding a mentor who will teach you and all that stuff. Or you would have to research the spell yourself. But to do that, you have to be of a level equal to the spell. So you're not picking up 11th level spells on your own initiative, like with your own research, until your character is 11th level, which is never going to happen. Like, according to the XP guidelines in this game, you're playing for well over 3 years before that's even on the table. So starting at level 11, we're talking about spells that you have to acquire in play. And level 12 and 13 spells are the highest level spells you can get from that random spell acquisition when you level up table, which means essentially, barring plot device, you know, barring the GM saying, hey, you met a friendly genie who offered to teach you this spell I need you to know for the next plot line. Barring that, 12 and 13th levels are pretty well the cap of your like regular spell abilities. Spells beyond that are sort of like GM fiat plot devices for the most part. So if you level your wizard character and you roll to see what kind of spell you get and you hit 12 or 13, you hit the fucking jackpot. This is like throw your dice in the air, stand up out of your chair because you've acquired one of the most powerful spells that a player character wizard will ever lay his bony magical fingers on. So let's take a look at what's going on at these levels and get a sense of like what the end game is. You know, you've devoted your unique ability to be a pompous asshole. I mean, when it comes to thinking you're better than everyone else, you are better than everyone else. This is a special gift. You've devoted it to the craft of magic. What do you get at the end? What's the final payoff of devoting all your life and psychic potential to magic? These spells describe that endgame. The first one to talk about on this page, because of Blind Watch, is Summon Fog. This is the apex of Conceal from Vision spells. Finally, we've reached it, the climax of Blind Watch. This is the spell for when you don't need to just blind one guy. You don't need to just fill up a room with smoke like a mere stage magician. You have reached an arcane apotheosis such that you can now conceal the vision of people miles around. You drop some pea soup fog on an area 1 mile per level of experience. And this fog is extremely thick. It says here, you can't see clearly beyond 4 feet, and you cannot see anything beyond 10 feet away. So somebody standing 11 feet away, there's not the faintest glimmer of an idea that there is a person there from your sense of sight. Now you may notice that the area of this spell is measured in miles, not square miles. This is in accordance with Palladium's odd measurement policy in which two-dimensional spaces are measured in one-dimensional units, while three-dimensional spaces are measured in terms of two-dimensional area, and presumably the vagaries of four-dimensional space-time, if they were described in this book, would be measured in, I don't know, fucking gallons. But that minor quibble aside was like, exactly how big is this area we're talking about? Are we doing square miles here, or is this like a radius in disguise? One thing you can't argue with is that this is some thick fucking fog. Light sources only make it worse. You've got a 30% chance of tripping over something every 30 feet that you move. If you consult your blind watch workbook, you'll find that this is not as bad a tripping chance as the spell blind gives you, but that's fair enough because you can kind of see in the fog. So far, no rules contradiction. Being able to see 10 feet in front of you is less debilitating than being completely blind. There's a semblance of logic. The bar is very low, but the author has cleared it. However, things quickly go downhill, much like a superhero fighting in the magical fog near an embankment, because this spell offers extended rules for your increased likelihood of falling based on your speed. So it says if you've got a speed of 3 or lower, you're totally safe. Up to a speed of 10, you've got the aforementioned 30% chance for every 30 feet that you move, all the way up to a speed faster than 36, which translates to, it says here, about 25 miles per hour, where you have an 85% chance of tripping or crashing or whatever for every 100 feet that you move. Now, if my math is right, and I couldn't care less whether it is, that means that you actually, if you're moving at a high speed, like 25 miles an hour or over, you have a higher chance of crashing in this dense fog than you would if you were actually blind driving a car. And that doesn't seem right, but more importantly, the rules disagree, which means we get to finish off Blind Watch with a flourish. Officially, all of the versions of concealing things from sight with magic disagree. Every single version of these rules is different. Not one of these 9 spells has the same rules for concealing things from sight as any other spell. Somewhere along the way, I think we missed Shadow Meld as well. Don't worry about it. If the blank page in your Blind Watch workbook offends you, tear it out. We're not talking about Shadow Meld. One more little note. Although Summon Fog summons a fog so thick that driving in it is actually harder than driving while actually blind, ranged combat in the fog is surprisingly forgiving. Quote, long-range combat, slings, arrows, thrown objects, gunfire, and the casting of magic and psionics for any distance beyond 10 feet is extremely difficult. All such attacks are -5 to strike, and opponents are +2 to dodge. -5 to strike if your opponent is more than 10 feet away. Now, I remind you, more than 10 feet away means you cannot see them at all. And there's no upper limit to this range, too. So, like, this is the same penalty that would apply to someone who is, let's say, 30 feet away, or 40 feet away, or 50 feet away. So let's say that you're a marksman and you are trapped in a dense magical fog and there's a wizard 50 feet away verbally taunting you because you can't see him, and then you shoot a gun at him based on just the sound of his voice, your odds of hitting him square in the forehead are actually pretty good. You're only a -5 to strike. I don't know what penalty should apply there, logically, but karmically I find this very satisfying. I'm just happy that wizard's going to get what he deserves, so I'm just going to give this a pass. Don't make fun of people while they're in fog cloud. It's not sporting. Rules disagreements notwithstanding, Summon Fog is a fine spell. It is a powerful spell. It is the kind of power level we would expect from one of these big guns, one of these 11, 12, 13 level spells. Not so the dumbest thing on this page, the first of the 3 12th level spells in this game, Calm Storm. I'm going to read you a little bit of this spell, and I want you to try, in vain, to imagine the player who hits the jackpot, rolls randomly, I get to choose a 12th level spell this level, and chooses this goddamn spell as the apex of their cosmic power. Quote, the spellcaster can calm the tumultuous tempest of nature with a simple invocation and 200 points of potential psychic energy. A mere 200 points. What a bargain. Just 200 points. More than a 15th level god-slaying cosmic wizard has in his whole wizard body. A mere 200. To, as the spell goes on to say, quote, slow a downpour to a light rain, reduce wind speed by half, reduce the size of waves by half, and lighten the dark, stormy skies. Just think of what you could accomplish with this spell. I mean, granted, it would take more power than you can possibly muster from the depths of your soul, but if you can get some other cultists in on this, if you can do some kind of ritual, if you can do this on the goddamn solstice, then you could win a yacht race. You could embarrass the weatherman. You could save a picnic. I mean, people might object to the cultists, but when they come up to you to complain about that shit, you'll be like, you don't even know about the downpour I just saved you from by downgrading it to a light rain. You're welcome. Enjoy your baked beans. I mean, even the ritual version, it says here, quote, using the magic in a 10-minute ritual, the mystic can turn a torrential rain into a drizzle. More of this, like, palladium half measures, this stingy, stinting version of magic. 12th goddamn level. I'm out there slaying demon princes, but there's a spell to stop the rain, and it can't fucking stop the rain. Not even temporarily. Not even with the power of my whole magic guild all linking hands and chanting rain, rain, go away with our hard-won ancient secrets, even for a minute, we can't stop the rain. And what are you supposed to do with this spell? The only time this spell is useful is when you've got something you want to accomplish, but the weather is going to stop you. The only time this spell is good is when you and the rest of the Justice League get together and you have your plan for Monday afternoon, and then Batman looks up from the Bat computer and is like, bad news, guys, it's raining this afternoon. And you're like, no problem, I'm on it. This will never happen. The only time this, in practice, would be used is against someone else's summon and control storm spell, which is why this spell is really here. It is the equal and opposite to a spell that summons storms. So once again, we have Palladium putting a firm and clear emphasis on the true calling of the wizard, fucking with other wizards. There aren't that many good high-level spells. One of them is summon and control storm, as we'll probably talk about tomorrow. So, of course, they had to fuck it up by making it so that there's another high-level spell taking up one of three. One, two, three 12th-level spells in the whole book. One of them is only good for canceling out one of the only other good spells, so that the cosmic forces are in perfect equilibrium, and no matter their level, no matter their level of cosmic power, a fight between two wizards continues to be boring as hell. Nothing happening. Two guys in robes and nothing happening. It's Eyes of the Wolf all over again. It's like, what's the harm in letting somebody just identify a fruit? Why does it have to be a struggle? Especially when you're like a high-level wizard. In the same way, theoretically, you've got a wizard here like optimizing their character to control the weather. This is going to be probably their best spell, probably their only spell of this level. Just let them stop the rain. Is that so much to ask? What's the power balance problem? It just has to be drizzling. That's like a fuck you from the GM. You know, he tells you it's a rainy city street, and you're like, well, my wizard has been training all his life to control the weather, so I stop the rain. And the GM's like, okay, you stop the rain, but it's still drizzling. Jeez, dude, let me have my moment. Oh, and by the way, just in case you're wondering, this spell does have a limited duration, and if the storm lasts longer than the spell, then the storm will come back. So if you are dumb enough to take this spell and sit on your hands with your cosmic power waiting for some really bad weather to flex your magical muscles, you may be wondering, how long is a storm going to last? Am I going to be able to cover the whole thing? Fortunately, there are rules for that. Quote, a typical storm rarely lasts more than 4 hours. Roll 2d4 to randomly determine the length of a natural storm. So you'll be happy to know storms rarely last more than 4 hours. You just roll 2d4, the average result of which is 5. So there is a clear, unequivocal answer, and the answer is, fuck you. It's your fault for taking this spell, frankly. Now, I vowed days ago that if I found something so boring or redundant, or in this case, so antithetical to the spirit of the player character that I think players would rarely take it, that I would offer something from Heroes Unlimited Revised that could have taken its place. Some better material that was cut from the previous edition. And in this case, my selection is pretty simple, and it may not seem parallel at first. It may not seem, you know, like apples to apples. But I'm going to choose Dimensional Teleport. Dimensional Teleport was in Heroes Unlimited Revised. It is a simple spell. It costs 3 spell selections, so it's a big deal. It's a big investment under that edition's system. But it does allow you to teleport yourself and some of your gear and maybe some of your friends to another dimension, straight up. Now, you may object that while this game doesn't have Dimensional Teleport, it does have a replacement spell, Dimensional Portal. But Dimensional Portal is bullshit in a way that really proves my overall point about today. Unlike Dimensional Teleport, which is just straight up the ability to go to other dimensions. You know, you invest heavily in it at character creation or whenever, but that's it. Other than that, it's just a thing you can do. Contrast with Dimensional Portal, which costs 1,000 PPE, or half that if you go to a Leyline Nexus point. So, effectively, instead of just being able to go to the dark dimension or the negative zone or whatever, you know, all those things that our favorite superheroes did in like their first 5 issues and laid the foundation of their whole mythology. Instead of that, you gotta wait until, first of all, you can go to a Leyline Nexus point. So like, you gotta go out of your way to a location of high tourist significance, some magical place. Then you gotta bring people with you. Like, you either need, let's say, 5 first level wizard apprentices or maybe 50 like muggle cultists, or wait until like the climax of a once in a decade solar eclipse. And then that combined with all of your innate PPE, you could maybe cast this spell, assuming you can learn it because it's 15th level. That's higher than you can start the game with, higher than you can roll randomly on the level up gain a spell table. So you either have to go on a giant in-character quest to get it, or you have to research it yourself when you hit 15th level, which I don't have the math right in front of me, but I think should take roughly your entire goddamn natural life at the rate that XP progression goes in this game. The concept is basically the same, but the very like gonzo comic booky, let me just snap my fingers and take us on a wild dimensional adventure, that's been replaced by something much more rifts and much more sort of infected by the worst habits of RPG design, especially of this time, which is to take the cool stuff and put it up on a high shelf where you're supposed to look at it and marvel at it when you're in your RPG childhood and be like, ooh, daddy, can I have that cool spell? And the GM, who is daddy in this scenario, is like, now, you can look, but you can't touch until you're older. You need to keep coming over and playing in this campaign every week for 3 more years, and then you can be a cool superhero. No. Fuck you, Dad. I want to be a cool superhero right away, which I could do in Heroes Unlimited Revised, but you're making it pretty tough for me in Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition, especially by taking all these cool spells out of the spell list and replacing them with bullshit like Calm Storm, which is clearly just this building block plot device so you can plug wizards and magic into your prearranged dramatic situation. I, the player of a wizard, am never going to find like a clever, creative, fun, advantageous use of Calm Storm. All that's going to happen is either some asshole wizard is going to try to duck our fucking super team by creating a storm over the local airport, and I'm going to have to go on a quest to learn Calm Storm so we can counteract this tactic, or, much more likely, I'm going to know Summon Storm, I'm going to use it to try to mess with the villain's local airport, and then you, the evil GM, aka Evil Daddy, are going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, but he does know the Calm Storm spell. You can find it on page 336, so he's able to cancel that effect and get away on the next scheduled flight, as I intended. Sorry, man, it's just game balance. It's just the rules. This sucks for me. And I can't even leave this dimension in a huff because they took out fucking dimensional teleport. I could wait until the next solar eclipse. I don't want to wait that long. I won't still be mad by then. Anyway, that's enough. We've had enough long-winded episodes in this section. Join me next time as we move on to 13th level spells and discuss what cosmic power is and isn't good for on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.